Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Party Friday to you on the eve of the snow of the century, the snowstorm of the century. All things must close. We're used to it, though, with the COVID. So just shut them down.
Don't even think about getting out of bed. Don't even move.
Don't get out of your bed. Do nothing.
You know, I have to say, that's here in Colorado. What is it about? I went to the grocery store yesterday and then again today. The bananas are gone. Plenty of toilet paper this time around, but the bananas, no bananas or cauliflower, which was, I thought was weird. They actually had an announcement in the grocery store. Stop asking us about cauliflower. It's gone. I'm like, I don't know.
This show, Chuck and Julie show, True Straight Up, and it's brought to you by Julie.
AmericasCitizenPress.com and Dr. Julie McCallan with Denver Cenogenics.
Who keeps me alive and will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. And we'll have to get our number back here.
Okay,
I have Julie, you got it here? Yeah, go ahead.
720-387-3681. This is Denver Cenogenics, 720-387-3681.
Nothing better than the present to get better and better.
That's right. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Karen Cataline, fellow talk show host and a columnist, and we're going to get into the bizarre president address. We'll talk about that later. But we'll start off with our favorite Patrick Neville, representative, former House Minority Leader, now just basically leading things.
How did you become the favorite? Do you have various Patrick Nevilles?
One of our favorite guests.
Okay.
Hey, Patrick, thank you for your time again this afternoon.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on.
So I wanted to start off, and I heard you on Peter Boyle's this morning. Nice job there, too, by the way. But I did want to talk about this. So it seems to me this is a bill that Democrats have been pushing for a while in the Colorado legislature. But it's kind of like the sex ed bill, right, where they wanted to make it a law that certain things had to be taught.
Seemed kind of innocent, but behind it, dark.
And it
very
seems to me
forces.
That they want to make it a law that essentially Channel 9's Kyle Clark
will be teaching your children about the media
and what they can watch and not watch.
If not
watch.
Groping them. I mean, who knows?
No.
Saying he wouldn't?
No, he would not.
Okay, Julie.
Let's not get liable. Back to the question,
I didn't
Patrick.
Say
don't
he
listen.
Did.
Don't
I
listen
said...
to Chuck. Chuck's had a little bit of caffeine. But I mean, is that essentially the gist of it, that it would put it into law? That Kyle Clark, and I'm not exaggerating there, would teach our kids what they should and shouldn't listen to and pay attention to media-wise.
How to identify misinformation.
So, yeah, I mean, basically they did this like they do every other bill, and this is a lesson to everyone why you should oppose 99% of all studies or grant programs, because they come out and they sound so, oh, we're just doing this, you know, we're going to put this committee together. And the committee will be chosen by other appointed people that were appointed by other people or appointed by other people. And, you know, we're going to do this committee and they're just going to take a look at this. So it's a big nothing burger, nothing to see here. So they put this bill forward in 2019, I believe, called House Bill 1110. And they put this committee together, and the committee had certain requirements within the bill that people on the committee must come from this industry, you know, list of different people. And then the commissioner of education got to pick all those people. So out of all the people in Colorado who they could pick as a broadcast journalist, they picked Kyle Clark.
What a coincidence.
They're back with a bill this year that says that, well, okay, we're going to go ahead and adopt all these committee's recommendations and put it into curriculum in schools and basically teach our kids what they're calling media literacy. So how to know what's fact, what's fiction, and how to look at information and decide whether it's biased or not. And it's a joke. I mean, it's comical when you have Kyle Clark, the most biased journalist,
Why don't they get Brian Stelter from CNN? Maybe he could come
Lemon
in.
Don Lemon could help.
Don Lemon could help. I mean,
right. Rachel Maddow, you know, yeah.
Rachel Maddow.
I mean, it is, because I read through a great deal of it, and a woman by the name of Nancy White is their consultant who's going to help them with this, and it becomes another, like, little cottage industry. I didn't realize this, but there are all of these media literacy organizations now, all of them non-government organizations, which it's just like Planned Parenthood, only it's for media literacy. That are funded by the government. Then they have these laws passed that they're going to come in and they're going to teach the kids. And without even getting into the ridiculousness of that, but correct me if I'm wrong, Patrick, but I thought in Colorado, like, school districts have a say about what is taught to the kids.
Did we get rid of that? Yeah,
did
we get rid of that annoying thing?
They do, but they want to put it into the curriculum and then the standards. And so eventually the schools are going to go, well, if we want our testing scores to be correct, probably start adopting some of this. And I mean, it's one of those things that, honestly, I didn't even know Kyle Clark was on the committee until the bill came up, and I'm just kind of listening. I knew it was going to be a no on the bill, but the bill, they tried to be real sneaky about it and say that, well, we're just going to adopt the committee's report. And then Stephanie Luck, I mean, gosh, Stephanie's doing such a great job. Talk about a Republican in a, you know, competitive district who actually took out a Democrat that was sitting there before.
But thanks to all the Republicans who supported and raised money for her opponent. Yeah, right. Greg Brophy. He's a winner.
Greg Brophy donated to the Democrat.
Right.
Stephanie gets up there and says, well, it refers to this report, so let me go ahead and read the report.
Yeah.
She's reading it. She mentions Kyle Clark's on the board. I didn't even have any idea. I knew it was a nonsense program and was going to lead to bad things, but then you start peeling back the onion layer after layer, and you find it gets worse and worse and worse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I looked into this Nancy White, who is their consultant. And I mean, she just oozes praise for Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden. She don't get much left than her. I mean, I wouldn't trust this woman. This is what I believe it is. This is their attempt to put into it would, rather than just even having teachers sway the kids with their opinions,
why bother?
They would actually pass this into law so our kids would be taught which were the fake media. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here and guess that it would not be MSNBC or CNN or Channel 9, but it would be conservative media outlets. What do you think, Patrick?
You know, that's right. And then we even tried putting forward an amendment that said, well, let's have a way to have citizen input into this report and into the findings and into the whole curriculum. And we can't have that. That'll water down the bill.
Parents?
No, we've already got parents. Kyle Clark figured it all out for us, guys. Just nothing to see. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Did the lion of the House, Hugh McCain, minority leader, stalwart of freedom, what position did he take?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, so they put a press release after, you know, it was really Stephanie that really did the heavy lifting on this and started reading that report, and that made them way over the bill because they were out of time. And she was like, I'm going to read the whole thing through, all the way through. they agreed to lay over the bill. And then afterwards, the House Republican office put out this press release. And it was, he put out a much harder hitting press release when he made comments about me than he did on his bill.
Well, I mean, and that's
how do I, Hugh? Keep on fighting for the people.
And we'll get to the Republican shenanigans in a minute, but I think people need to be aware, because I'm sure this is not just happening in Colorado. We see we've got that, then the other Democratic bill in the Colorado legislature to create a Ministry of Truth. Mm. We've got all kinds of stuff going on in Congress to get rid of fake news. We've got YouTube and Google, Wikipedia, all of these organizations just outright censoring anything that doesn't follow the absolute, extremely radical conservative or progressive line. And now they want to make it a law that this has to be taught to our kids, and our kids have to take a test. And we can guess what happens if a kid says, well, I like Fox News, or I like Chuck and Julie, or you're starting your own podcast. I like the Patrick Neville podcast. Then it's just ridiculous to me. And it's not even ridiculous. It's really scary, I think.
It is really scary. So it's not just the First Amendment or the Second Amendment we're going after this year. It's the first as well. Look at it too. They're saying, well, no, it's not a law. This is just a resource bank we're going to put in.
Resource. Excellent.
So that's going to lead, you know, that's just like Common Core, the same thing they did with that. No, we're not going to mandate this. Local schools have a say. And then they change the testing standards. And then I've even got, you know, good schools like where my kids go that have switched their math based on that. Because they can't, you know, compete with the testing standards.
Right. So that's it. So we need to keep an eye on that. Although unfortunately it didn't go through in 2019, my guess is.
Oh, it did, but then they did a study.
Then they did a study.
No, it did. That's where they created the study that was supposed to be a thermal study, just to take a look at it. And, you know, everything was, I'm sure they probably already had all, you know, probably 75% of all the committee members picked out. It was already in the tank. This was, you know, this is how they plan everything. And that's why I say anyone who even thinks about running for the legislature, if you do, when you get in there, do not vote for these studies. Or another common thing they'll do is they'll have a grant program and say, no, this is just a kind, fine citizen that wants to pay for this and start this up. And then 2 years later, they come with a bill and they say, oh, well, we're out of funding. And this was such a successful, great program.
Successful. Yeah. In the meantime, what they're talking about raising school district taxes. They're talking about raising school district taxes, right?
My God, so, those teachers are being worked to the bone.
To death, and now they got to teach me.
You know, they're down in Puerto Rico right now, saving you and your family. Always studying up on the curriculum while on the beach. Oh man, we got to get the administrators, the teachers, the staff, everybody.
They need more
money. Raise being frontline fighters against disinformation and COVID.
Do you think it's going to pass, Patrick?
Take a look at the committee that they have. Like, I did some digging. I was looking through the committee reports and it showed that folks like Kyle Clark were present at the committee, but then they don't actually detail what members say. I mean, there's really so little transparency on this. It's like, oh, the committee just decided this. The committee adopted this, but they don't give specifics. What happened? I mean, was the public, did they do a good job of making sure the public was aware that this committee was meeting?
No.
Other people that they have a say? No, not at all. This was already all cooked in the books when they first passed the bill in 2019 with the plan to bring this forward, and hoping that it just didn't catch any, sort of scrutiny. And then thanks mostly to Stephanie Luck, it did catch a lot of scrutiny. I mean, I would have voted no anyway, but I had no idea how bad it was.
So what is the lion of the House up to?
Switching to Republican shenanigans in general.
I understand he's making bold forays over to the Betcher Mansion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so there's, you know, I think he's just having a really difficult time trying to figure out, as leader, you should be spending your time attacking Democrats and not Republicans, because he spent the last 4 years attacking Republicans.
Right.
And he's spending more time worrying about the plexiglass between Stephanie Luck and I that I take down and I move it to the side of our desk and then I put it back. And he's more worried about that than actually, you know, going after Democrats and some of these draconian policies that they're doing.
Excellent.
I'd heard that, and I was thinking to myself, because I've seen the pictures at the Capitol, and so folks who don't know what we're talking about, it's like they've got, it's kind of like when you go to the grocery store, they've got these little plexiglass things all over the place. So I would imagine if you're trying to talk to Stephanie, you've got this plexiglass thing here. So you either have to do one of two things, shout really loud or stand up and talk directly to her, or go over here and talk directly to her.
No, they could have done that string deal with the cans. Yeah. Maybe they could try that out.
I mean, making it incredibly stupid anyway.
It's not like we took it down next to someone, you know, there's a Democrat next to stuff and you probably want his up. It's not like we took that down. It was like a mutual agreement. Hey, we're going to take this down, and I'm polite to staff, so I move it to the side, and then when we leave the chamber, I put it back up. No issues, but it was a big issue for him. He got mad afterwards and told me that he was putting me on state affairs. I don't know if it's because of that. I think it is. He says it's not, but it was.
Oh, oh,
so
no.
He's putting you on. He's putting on state essentially affairs. a lame committee.
No,
right?
It's a kill committee.
Well, that's what I mean.
It's a kill committee. You have a lot of fun there, actually.
You can vote to kill other things. Well, how are things sort of shaping up? It is tricky.
Well, how is he doing all together? I hear so many good things about how he's reaching across the aisle, how a bipartisan spirit of Bidenism has now crept into the state house, and everybody is dancing down the aisle to Democratic bills, singing Kumbaya.
Well, I think that's like, that seems like the goal, like make friends with the Democrats and go after the conservative portion of the caucus is kind of what's happening right now. And we see what's going on with this so-called stimulus package. And it just makes me sick when, you know, we have our Republican leaders not attacking the Democrats for this, and then you've got Mitch McConnell, who I never thought would
be. Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Republican leaders actually attacking the Democrats, and gosh, and you know, now we're being asked, oh, do you want to be on this one? Do you want to be on this package of this bill? And they're trying to make it bipartisan. And I kind of look at them all and I say, I have no interest in putting my children into further debt so that I can claim some sort of victory on $20 million for this or $30 million for this, especially when we haven't reopened. I mean, I'm right. hearing from constituents all over. They're not looking for a handout. They're looking for the ability to go back to work and reopen and make a living.
Right, right. Well, Patrick, you know, if we all do our part, maybe they can't do that, but you might be able to have a barbecue.
Well, so. You know, the serfs get the Midsummer Festival. Independence Day has been canceled as you know, 1619 project kind of thing.
Systemic racism.
But we'll call it the Midsummer Festival. And the serfs, who we are, can go out and can stand around a barbecue, not with a lot of people, but maybe half your children. Half your children can join you. Thanks to, I mean, that was the ghoulish, scariest speech I've ever seen. This apparition comes down the hall in a mask and these dead eyes look out at you and you go, oh my God, oh my God. It's just, you enjoy the 22 minutes?
I have a barbecue to celebrate our country, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a Festivus film. Dude. I forget that. It's like Christmas. They got to get rid of Christmas. It's 4th of July. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what is so? What's going on? Give us some other updates. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
If Congressman Thomas Massey said something along the lines of, if you have to, you know, wait for the government to give you permission to celebrate on the 4th of July, you're really missing. The whole point.
Well, back at the state capitol, what are some other awful things and what can people do or what are you doing to fight them?
Should they call the minority leader and be able to say, keep in there, keep out the good fight, make sure to assume that supine position every time the governor walks by you?
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's even you take a look at the battle on safe storage, there was really no cohesive plan if it wasn't for a lot of us folks putting together a plan to actually attack this. I mean, some of the stuff we got weren't the same. That what the plan was just, are you kidding me? We're looking at adding a fiscal note to this. I mean, that's not a real plan to fight this. This was a bill that would have, it passed the House and probably will pass the Senate. It's going to take away your gun rights and criminalize gun owners. That's the whole intent.
Excellent.
There's no other reason for this bill. Whatsoever. You can't visit. I mean, I've spent probably at least 20 hours looking at this bill between committee and on the House floor debates. And I'm looking at it as a gun owner going, I don't know how I can legally comply with it when they say that they can't have access. And it's written in a strict scrutiny manner. You can't have access to the key or combo. So, like, even if I lock up my gun, then what do I do with the key?
So it includes
the combination and I write it down somewhere, they have access.
Well, and how, this is my alarm here too, because again, I think everything, our worst fears and then some are being realized here, because it seems to me that the next step would be to ensure that you're complying with the law, right?
Well, yeah, little searches.
I mean, do you see, I don't know, what's the point of having a law like
what's
this?
What's the point of the Fourth Amendment anyway? That's, if you don't have anything to hide, why can't they search your home? Come on. You must be up to nefarious activities if the government wants to search your home. We all know that. Come on.
Yeah, if you're not doing anything wrong, why wouldn't you? Yeah. I mean, this bill is absolutely horrendous. I mean, if you look at it closely, and I even ran an amendment because they kept saying, we're not trying to make criminals out of gun owners. We're just trying to change behavior and encourage the right thing, which I don't think you need to do. I mean, by far, the vast majority of gun owners, look, I brought in my gun locks and did a demonstration on how this is going to take precious minutes away from gun owners responding to a threat in their house. Right.
Yeah, their kids may die by an intruder, but they'll be free from you.
I use them because there's a time and place when I use them. Maybe I'm having a large birthday party with a bunch of kids
right.
that I haven't been able to train and talk to about gun safety. You know, I can use them. So I don't need the government.
Large birthday parties permitted?
Yeah, Patrick, yeah.
I think you may have given yourself away there, Patrick, engaging in criminal behavior. Large birthday party? That sounds highly suspicious.
I hold that gladly. But you take a look at it. So I ran an amendment on it and said, if you're not trying to criminalize them, then let's give them 7 days to come into compliance before you actually criminalize them. That got killed. So then, you know, I had this all set up. Well, let's give them 3 days. Oh, no, we can't do that. Of course, they said 7 days was too long, so let's do three. No, we can't do that. Well, let's give them 24 hours, you know, 24 hours to come into compliance. So you get better hope that, you know, the governor didn't close down all the shops in the state. Maybe they can actually go out and buy something to be compliant. Nope, couldn't even give them 24 hours. So
wow.
The goal and the intent of this bill is surely to criminalize all gun owners.
There you go.
It goes beyond just having children in the house. It's if you have people in the house that aren't legal gun owners. So, I mean, do you need a background check every friend that you have over at the house? Maybe someone got a felony 25 years ago for a traffic offense and you don't even know about it.
Right.
Oh, they can't legally own a gun when they were in your house.
Oh.
Well, and what about this thing too? I think it's a similar bill. Like you said, they're just trying to criminalize gun owners, that they made it a crime if you have a gun and it's stolen, if you don't report it in a certain period of time. Now, I would just imagine that most people, unless you're a gang member or a cartel member, if you have your gun stolen, you report it. I mean, so it's not like this is this massive. What's the thinking behind?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I know, but let me. But Patrick,
well, that bill is in the Senate now. But the sheer heart of that bill is to create a mandatory gun registration.
Ah, there you go.
You know, that's what they want. Oh, let's report your serial number. I've had people who I know in the past that have had their weapons stolen, and the police get mad because they don't know the serial number. But I mean, that's the whole point of it. You don't. The government, there's no like central system, and this is basically what created it. So they could go back into the NICS system and say, oh, what was this serial number? And we found it and this person owned it, which they say, oh, we never accessed the NICS system, but they do all the time.
Right.
They already have that central system, but it gives them another excuse to access it. And right. Then boom, they've got a central registry on everyone. And what's even more worse about this, that I think of any other bill that I look at, is what other bills do we have where they actually punish the victim of a crime?
Right. Right.
That's exactly what this bill does. Yeah. Well, you were a victim of the crime. Let's go ahead and punish you.
Excellent idea.
Well, and if even you may not know even. I mean, it's just, well, what other things are coming down?
What other things is our brave minority leader leading the way to that we can get behind and support his bipartisan efforts toward?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's other bills coming through. Like there was a controversial bill this morning. It's working its way through. That's going to raise your basically your state property taxes without.
Yay! Thank God.
I think it's spread around neighbors. They're saying, oh, well, it's not fair that this one district pays this percentage of mill levy compared to another district. We need to just have this equalization and raise that.
Yes. Well,
you know, there's some districts out there where your average home might be $3 million, and so they don't need an extremely high mill levy. But well, they're going to fix that. They're going to make you pay it anyway.
Excellent. Oh, this is just great stuff.
Doing that, you would actually have to ask permission. The state will just do it for you.
After you were on Peter's show, I was on Peter's show, and he was talking about how much the Republican Party sucks, you know, and I was going to go, it's your fault, Peter.
Blame Peter for breaking the party.
Well, he did. And that's all they ever do is they criticize one party out of power. Why the utter denigration of the state just goes by unnoticed. It's because the Republicans did it. They, you know, they put up Walker Stapleton. I mean, it's just, we get it from everywhere. We get it from everywhere. And I love the Denver Gazette, you know, I mean, it's more balanced, more fair, yeah, because it's Phil Anschutz and it's all the same Denver Post reporters. It is as far left. And the only time they have stories about Republican, it's about Jonathan Lockhart. Oh, yes, the utter far left-wing weirdo little kid is running. Yes, let's get him.
Who voted for Joe Biden.
Who voted for Joe Biden. Let's
sometimes
give him
they
article.
Do nice things on John Southers.
Oh, that's Bob right, John, and Bob Beaupre, of course. Yeah. We need more Bob Beaupre articles because we don't have enough Bob Beaupre.
Right, there. No, and we just need better candidates. That's my favorite. I mean, that's kind of what the establishment likes to say. We just need better candidates.
Yeah.
I think I heard Dick Wadhams talking. I actually agreed with him when he said, you know, the party is represented by the elected officials and the candidates. And I think that's our problem. And I think the largest contributor to all of our losses nationwide, including in Colorado, was not repealing Obamacare. When John McCain made his vote and that didn't happen, that's where we started our huge losing trend in 2018 and 2020. It's because we didn't get that done when every Republican out there was campaigning on getting that done. So when you want to talk about electing candidates, how about you elect candidates that actually do what they're going to say and actually abide by the principles that we have, and then we'll actually have a brand back that we can take to people and show them what we can do. I mean, people aren't happy and satisfied with soaring health insurance prices, and we didn't change it, even though every Republican out there that I can think of all campaigned on that we got to get rid of this. And then what happened? Final hour, no, we got that big thumbs down, and that's where we started losing elections. How do you come back from such a huge loss like that?
Right, right. Well, and then you have the traitors, and then you have all the swamp stuff, which is kind of what goes on with the Colorado Republican Party too. Well, let me want to add two more questions from me. One of them, because we get people asking us this all the time, you know, who can we donate to? Where can we help? And I tell people, donate to Patrick Neville's pad. Don't give right now to the Colorado Republican Party. Don't give to Mitch McConnell. So tell us about your organization and how people can help out if they want to.
Yeah, it's Take Back Colorado, and you know we're starting up some other ones too, but we'll release that eventually. But Take Back Colorado is, you can find us at takebackco.org, and that's where we help out good grassroots. We're trying to add more Republicans and the right type of Republicans, people like Stephanie Luck, who all the establishment said she doesn't stand a chance. Oh, no way, she doesn't stand a chance, so I'm going to max out to the Democrats instead.
And, yeah, right.
And then guess what? We have Representative Stephanie Luck. get more people like her and add folks like her to the legislature and other offices throughout the state.
Well, Peter asked me who I thought would be a good candidate for governor, and I thought your friend Dave Williams would be great. What do you think about Dave?
I couldn't agree more. He'd be great.
All right.
Phenomenal.
All right. Well, Patrick, listen, we're going to let you go. Thank you for your time. Thank you for fighting the good fight and keeping us opposed.
And keep make sure that the lion of the house, Hugh McCain, keeps up the good bipartisan surrender going.
No. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Patrick Neville there. Ben is saying Greg Lopez, too.
Greg Lopez is great, too.
Also
I agree.
Good.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Hey, this is from Sandra. If you guys haven't heard, we'll pump Peter's show. You should listen to the essentially the last half hour of Peter's show. Sandra's saying, yeah, you were great on Peter's show. You did so well that Billy said, no more Chuck and Randy on Peter's show, which means that you did well. It's funny. Chuck and people who haven't listened, Chuck and Peter have been for years very funny when they get together, and it's sparring with each other. And it's very friendly. Hey, so I see Karen Cataline.
A little bite to it.
But yeah, really, Karen Cataline is joining us in the waiting room. Want to talk to her? She's got some sort of news that she wants to share, I think. But then also want to get her take on the Biden speech, and also we'll open up to the phones, or you can join in. Well, Karen will be on Zoom, so 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. So we were watching the Biden speech, and I was channeling my inner Chuck while he's talking. I kept shouting at him, which is normally something Chuck does. When he was going on about it's been a tough year, and I'm like, you did that to us. The only reason it was tough.
The kids aren't in school because of
you.
Me.
Yeah.
But I got the vaccine done. You know, there was no vaccine. There was nothing when I came into office.
Like, you didn't get the vaccine done.
I got nothing done. All he's gotten done is waddle up and down a hallway going, where am I?
And then he's like, and we'll play a little bit of sound. And then he says, and if we all do our part, which means if we get the vaccine and wear 3 or 4 masks, then maybe we can have a backyard barbecue. I'm like, what world
with
is he?
Close friends, Julie, close family friends, not a big barbecue. You may have one or two, and you can have a hamburger maybe if the state says it's okay.
It's no meat day. Jared Polis is opposed to meat now. Here we have to go. Okay, Karen, look at you. Karen Cataline joining us. Welcome. You do not appear. We're preparing for Snowmageddon here in Colorado. So we're wearing turtlenecks and stuff like that. You appear to be not in Snowmageddon land. Why don't you, folks, welcome to the show. And
you know, I'm not. And strangely enough, I missed Freezemageddon too. Okay, so I've changed my base of operation, and that's the project that I've been working on for the last, 6 weeks. Thank you both for filling in for me a couple weeks ago on Spouting Off.
My pleasure.
And so I've hightailed it south to Texas.
Yes.
All right.
And it is beautiful here, I must say, although I hear it's quite hot in the summer. And yes, it sounds like you're going to have quite the snowstorm. We've lived through a few of those, haven't we?
We sure have. Let me jump right into it. First, and then we'll play some video. Did you watch the speech last night, or did you at least read it?
No, but I commented all about it on my show today because even my guest didn't have the stomach for watching it live, but great enough. You can always read what he said And you already took my thunder because it was all about the vaccines, folks. Yep. I've got a solution. I hope I have a solution, but we got to get on it right away because that's what it was about.
Right.
I have some commentary about that.
Okay, so, let me play the sound first, and then we'll get to your commentary. So, Thomas, if we could play, the whole speech was bizarre for some of the many reasons I already talked about. But this part in particular, and then we'll play Tucker Carlson's reaction to it, because that I thought was brilliant. So, Thomas, if we could first play the Biden soundbite.
I need you. I need every American to do their part. That's not hyperbole. I need you. I need you to get vaccinated when it's your turn and when you can find an opportunity. And to help your family, your friends, your neighbors get vaccinated as well. Because here's the point. If we do all this, if we do our part, if we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout and a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day. That doesn't mean large events with lots of people together, but it does mean small groups will be able to get together.
What planet is he? Thank God for Joe Biden. But we need to do our part. I mean, in fact, I'm going to put my mask on right now.
Yeah, listen, you serfs. You can have a day and you can go on a barbecue. But don't backslide.
But you better not disobey us, or you can't have the 4th of July.
No.
Don't forget that.
Right. Well,
that only if you do as we say, you can have small groups.
Right.
Yeah. Now, notice there's something he did not say. There's something the media hasn't said. There's something that nobody is talking about. And when they don't talk about it, it means it's huge. When they do talk about it, it's petty, stupid, right? Just like you talked about with the royal, the idiotic royals. I loved that commentary. It was just great. So what they're not saying is there is an enormous number of people who will not take the vaccine. And they have been trying to create an alternate reality that says people are clamoring for it, and boy, it's my turn, and I can't wait. And that is a lie. And one of the many reasons they hate Christians is because many, many, not all, many, many Christians will not take it. It smacks of something we don't have in our religion, but which we're right there with you, called Mark of the Beast. That's why they want to demonize Christians, because... And here, I mean, this just makes me crazy. How many things have already made us crazy? We are in hardcore authoritarian totalitarianism
That was Uncle Joe Stalin telling everybody if they fulfill the five-year plan, they could have a
got
beer.
Got that right. Right. And yeah, you got that right. And so because the conservatives are always behind the eight ball, they're always reacting instead of acting. We must be proactive about this because they're not saying it. When they don't say it, we have to say it. And my point is, I hope all your listeners will take this idea and run with it, run with it, run with it. Remember in the 1960s and 70s, conscientious objectors in the Vietnam War, the left loved conscientious objectors who went to Canada to avoid being in the draft because it was authoritarian to force you to fight in a war you disagreed with. Now, if you dare to disagree with a vaccine that we have no idea what's in it, Moderna stands for, this was my guest this morning, Patrick Wood. Moderna stands for modern RNA. These vaccines have not been tested. We have a right to be given, because it is experimental and it's classified as experimental because it hasn't been tested, we have a right, all our rights are being taken away, to be told what all the side effects are. But the fact is, nobody knows what's in this vaccine. Nobody, nobody, nobody. And especially not these unelected bureaucrats. Well, so the conservatives have to push conscientious objector. You want to take a vaccine? Fine. You start demonizing, vilifying, telling people they can't go to the store without a vaccine passport, and you know that's going to happen because it's already happening around the country. We say no, no, and hell no.
Well, and you're right, because here's the thing, because as I'm watching this, in part, it's clear Joe Biden, you're like, what world is he talking to? People have been having barbecues. When he talks about no large events, the Rockies on opening day, that, you know, a blue state run by, you know, tyrant Polis is letting him have 25,000 people. So all of that is coming back. I saw there was cell phone data today that showed that people's movements, which this is creepy, the fact that they track us in any way.
Very creepy.
But it are pre-pandemic levels, right? We went out a couple Friday nights ago to try to go to a restaurant. We went to two restaurants, an hour and a half wait at both of them, right? People are there. Yeah. Even in Denver, I'm seeing people in small, privately owned businesses not wearing masks. So it's not about that, but it is, as you said, it's about forcing us. And the only reason they want us to do the vaccine, I believe, is because they can, just like the stupid mask.
Well, it's right? worse than that. Half Patrick won on because... I took notes on his interview, and he said that there is a video out there of some of these vaccine people who believe that they have hacked the very DNA of life. Now, do I believe that? I don't know what I believe, but what I do know is I don't have to be a scientist to know that the same people who've been lying to us, who've lied, cheated, and stolen from us, and who continually tell us that we need a vaccine for a 99.86% virus. What is it going to be? 99.87%?
Right,
it's
exactly.
It's insane. The whole thing is preposterous. If those people want to force us all to take a vaccine, pardon me if I'm a little suspicious.
Well, they just want
to. Well, let's play Tucker Carlson's reaction to Joe Biden.
Joe Biden,
because he was absolutely just classic. Right. Just classic.
Thomas, if we could play the Tucker soundbite.
No sense at all of how any of this happened or who backed it, but they're the president showing great empathy. His plan consisting essentially of vaccines and more vaccines. By May, he said there will be enough vaccines for every person in America. The military will give you that shot. And if you take that shot, things potentially could get back to normal. No mention all of the people who might not want to take that shot. But the president said, if you take that shot and wear your mask and listen to Dr. Fauci, it is possible, not assured, but possible, that you might be able to gather in small groups with the ones you love for the 4th of July. We might have to rescind that right, but it's possible if you're obedient, you'll get it. Who are you talking to? This is a free people. This is a free country. How dare you tell us who we can spend the 4th of July with?
See, I think it all, and you've talked about this before too, the masks are the same thing. It all boils down to they want us to be obedient. And they have
and that
found
was all a, conditioning. It
right.
was all conditioning, because now you get people who have been doing as they're told for a whole year.
Right.
A whole year.
Right.
I got to tell you, the housewarming gift that we were given was the very day that we drove our way down to Texas.
Wandered your way down. Wandered your way down.
Yeah, wandered our way south to Texas. We feel like foreigners here, but we're learning. The very day Greg Abbott, very late, I might add, announced that he was rescinding the mask mandate. It took a whole week. But as I have watched people around me, many of them are so emotionally attached to the mask, they will not take it off even when there's no mandate. And that is just what the left has been pushing.
Right.
That you should not only do as you're told and be scared to death, but you should look down your nose at anybody who dares to think for themselves and says no.
Well, and here's what I worry about with the vaccine, because a lot of people are not taking it. And a lot of people, the polls, I mean, I know, I think I've told some of our listeners this before. I have a nephew in the military and they are on a ship. And he said roughly half the guys on the ship said, not taking it. You're not
gonna. And they brought him, you know, they brought him to the commanding officer.
But I think that what they're going to do, it's the same thing. So if you were a business and you thought that it was stupid that you should be locked down and you thought you had a clean place to keep people safe, they had the health commissioner, they put the pressure on you. So they put pressure on businesses to force us to wear the masks and comply by the rules.
Yes, private businesses.
I fear that they're going to do the same thing with the vaccine.
You
right?
You don't have to fear it. It's coming.
They will, Julie. They will. And what people don't understand, except maybe your listeners do, is that we are put between a rock and a hard place on purpose.
Right.
The price for standing up for freedom is going to get higher and higher and higher. And we must pay that price because the alternative is we're all slaves.
And it's getting worse even too with the big tech, because we've also seen how effective they were. They went back, Karen, and they pulled a December, YouTube 2 days ago, pulled a December 11th show that we did for some, you know, and so they're going back and they're redoing history.
Back to the archives.
And so we can't do anything that talks about the election, can't do anything. And now they're starting to pull stuff that spreads false information. And false information is simply any information they don't like. There's something false or not false. And they're going to start pulling that too. And they're going to punish you. So if you try to do a show, you know, if you want to have somebody on to talk about the vaccine, it's going to be like having Mike Lindell on. All of a sudden can't do that.
Well, this is Party Friday, right? Texas is Party Friday. it's Party Friday. And so let's go to a fun subject, something that's fun, frolicking, we all can enjoy. Andrew Cuomo.
Okay. Oh,
Andrew Cuomo. He's having so much fun. Women are coming out left and right. And third grade, he touched some girl on the knee, he thinks. And,
listen to what they're not saying. It's not what they're saying. It's always what they're not saying. The left wants to get rid of him because he is an albatross now. But how dare anybody mention that he was responsible for killing thousands of people?
That doesn't matter.
Oh, Karen, those are just old people.
But if he looked sideways at a woman who, by the way, is gender fluid, because how do you know whether she's a woman or a man anyway? So, and by the way, as there's always a by the way, how is it that Katie Couric is the first woman host of Jeopardy when
we can't have women host?
Gender is fluid.
Yes, no, man, we're going to have to not do that. They're going to have to get rid of all the first NBA ref or his NFL.
Well, you have to remember, and this is why Andrew Cuomo really screwed up. He hadn't got the memo that killing old people's fine. You know, 13,000, 15,000 of them.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter.
Particularly if you're making money off it.
If you're making money off it and they're contributing to the campaign, not a problem. But flirting while old. Now that is a capital crime.
Except Chuck, the thing is, they have something on every single one of their people. You know, the left has something on everyone. Remember that person, the guy who was outstock.com or overstock.com.
Right.
He was employed just to get something on Hillary so Hillary wouldn't go off the reservation. You know, it's okay if Hillary has a ton of baggage, has done everything in the history of mankind that is corruption and felonious. They don't care as long as she does what they tell her to. If they don't, they'll get rid of her based on some petty, stupid thing that doesn't lead to them.
And
they knew about Andrew Cuomo just like they know about Joe Biden, like they know about
Jeffrey Epstein.
Deeply, profoundly flawed. Not that conservatives aren't flawed, but at least we have some standards. They have none.
This is Cuomo's seventh accuser, and he's way beyond that now.
I think they said 30 now. It's up to 30.
Says he touched her. He repeatedly touched her inappropriately, but it wasn't about sex. What, he bumped into her in an elevator? I mean, you know.
Well, did he punch her? That would be inappropriate.
That would be inappropriate. Yeah.
Well, and I think
we have to punch away at that.
right.
Spousal abuse until we've
beat it down. It is. I think it has to do in part with what Chuck says. Yeah. There's a couple of things going on. Number one, they want to get rid of the toxic masculinity.
No more toxic masculinity. And I think you have to be at least somewhat gender neutral in the Democratic
Party. When are we getting rid of toxic masculinity?
Well, because that helps masculinity. We can't have masculinity.
Can't have that. How can you even think about that?
Oh, I see. So we move from toxic masculinity to no masculinity
at all. Just cut that out.
That Manhattan school that's saying we can't say mom or dad because.
Oh, yeah.
But I think a lot of it also has to do with the Democrats are also in their own way. And usually you see Republicans doing this. But I think I suspect that here's my conspiracy theory here. But this is Obama stuff. I mean, if you look at the White House, it's the band is back together. It's all of the Obama people.
And Obama, it doesn't have too much masculinity to him. You know, he's kind of a little gender fluid, which is great. But Cuomo, he just looked like a guy. I mean, you can't have that.
No. So what do you think, just your curiosity, because I know you have roots and ties and connections back east, do you think he's going to survive, Cuomo?
Not if the left has turned against him. Once the left turns against him, and you see there's a lot we don't know, there's a lot going on behind the scenes we never know, and that is Andrew Cuomo didn't play ball the way they wanted him to, because you better believe they would have protected him if he did.
Right.
But they have found him to be a liability for one reason or another. Sooner or later, the left turns on itself, but only when it thinks it's going to have to regroup. And so, yeah, I think if the left turns against him, he's done.
He's done.
But not, and because he's Mr. Little Baby Macho Man, he's not going to go away quietly, but he'll go away.
It's what's alarming to me is how fast the memo went out to all of the media organizations, except MSNBC or CNN rather. But I mean, all of a sudden, it's like, we love Andrew Cuomo.
And we hate Andrew Cuomo.
He killed a bunch of people. It's
it's always so much easier when you don't care how embarrassing you appear because you figure you said something a couple weeks ago when I was watching you, Julie, that was just right on target. Which is, not only have they jumped the shark on every which way they can, but they've gotten to the point where they can afford not to care how embarrassing and stupid they appear, because they've forced an election on us. And by the way, we're not allowed to talk about that.
Silence.
We must talk about everything they find threatening. Right. You know,
or interesting. We're also allowed to talk about Meghan Markle. We can talk about Meghan Markle. We're allowed to talk about her and how she's brought the greatest crisis in 85 years to the crown because she mentioned somebody, some indeterminate person, sometime in the past wondered about what her son's skin coloration would be. And
you know,
no greater
really
crisis could happen.
This suit, what's her name, Sharon? Sharon, who's
Osborne.
Married to the rock star?
Right, Sharon Osbourne, married to Ozzy.
Sharon Osbourne. I was so proud of her. I don't even know who she is hardly.
Right.
And then she had to apologize for standing with Pierce Morgan.
Oh, I know. Who Meghan Markle called and got him fired, you know? And then and then on top of it, then The View.
She is so powerless and she's such a victim.
Oh, she's a victim. And on The View is demanding that the Queen apologize to Meghan Markle.
Absolutely.
Like Joyce Behar. It's like, says.
Well, in the hierarchy of world power, you certainly have The View up here and they're the Queen down here and she must respond to their demands.
It must be said, because I'm going to say it, that the reason the left loves hero worship and celebrity and royalty is because they always were elitists. America has stood against elitism.
Right.
Everything about America is we don't believe in the divine rights of kings.
Right.
But the left does.
Right.
They believe they can make edicts on everyone else to wear masks.
Well, but
Nancy Pelosi, they don't have to.
But as Piers Morgan did point out in one show, we may not believe in divine right of kings, but we do believe in the divine right of judges. Because we certainly just allow judges to make any decision.
And
they're free from God, man, anything else. They're above us all. And they're wonderful.
Well, our founders didn't realize how bad it would get. That's all.
None of us did.
Understand.
I mean, would you have thought, I mean, I say this frequently, would you have thought, you know, last January, right, that the country would be like it is now? That, I mean, you're lucky that you're not in Colorado. There's a bill, although, well, you're in Texas, so that you're probably immune from this.
Not
but
totally.
There's a bill that has not actually totally. Been introduced by Carrie Donovan, who wants to replace Lauren Boebert, please God, don't let that happen, to form literally the Ministry of Truth here in Colorado, which would make it illegal, right?
To do misinformation on social media.
And Kyle Clark, literally, Karen, I'm not even joking about this from Channel 9, is on the committee that will help decide, and then they're going to teach our kids all about this too. So that's where we are.
A few things make me speechless. But everybody's on the same track. It's just a matter of time. Texas is on a slower track, but it's on the same track.
Right.
Whenever, wherever a leftist is, wherever they are, they're taking orders from the top. That's another thing. Not only elitism, but top-down authoritarianism. Jared Polis is taking orders. He imagines that he is independent. There's nothing independent about him. He has done part and parcel what the left wanted him to do, maybe because he has political ambitions, or maybe he wants to get in good with them because he's the right number of gender-bending combinations.
Oh, no, I think Jared Polis.
The problem is he will get chewed up and spit out too, just like Andrew Cuomo. And this is what they don't understand. When they make... Forgive me. I wrote this piece called Faustian Bargains, which I know is a favorite subject of mine. Lack of integrity, Faustian Bargains, and Slugworth. Remember Slugworth in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? I would direct you to that article because Slugworth would whisper in the kid's ear, if you sell out Willy Wonka, you're going to get enough money for your family. It's bribery.
Right.
And interestingly enough, the remake of Willy Wonka with a creepy performance by Johnny Depp, who said he patterned it after Michael Jackson, took out all the ethical and moral teachings of that movie. But that movie was about holding on to your integrity, taking responsibility for your mistakes, and being honest and straightforward, all of which is why Charlie wins everything, because he passed the major test. And that's what happens in Washington. Slugworth comes to you the second you get elected and whispers in your ear and tells you whatever it is you want,
the chamber will provide it.
You just play ball with us.
Exactly. Well, Karen, look, we're getting close to the end of the show. Where can people, I don't know, they said, somebody's saying, has she moved? Yes, Karen's moved to Texas.
I moved to Texas, but I still really care about Colorado. And I have to tell you, a lot of other people are moving too. I respect people who are staying in Colorado and sticking it out. We were fortunate enough to. And I have to say, we are relieved and we are pleased. And we'd like to get involved in the Texit movement.
Yeah.
That's what Chuck has been kind of pushing. Well, where can people read you, find you, hear you?
Yes, KarenCataline.com is all you got to know. And please come visit me on Spouting Off, which is Tuesdays and Thursdays still out of New Hampshire, and Fridays at BBS Radio. And all you have to do is go to KarenCataline.com and you can listen to the show live, call-in talk radio from everywhere in the country.
Well, in the internet age,
you're great.
Internet age, whether you're in Wyoming or you're in Colorado, you're in Texas, you're just an internet connection away. So that's great.
Right. I know, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. Both. We will talk to you soon, Karen.
Happy Party Friday.
Sandra, Karen, if you're still listening, Sandra is saying, no, Karen moved. No, but congratulations. Well, you guys, we only have 2 minutes left, so we'll have to save we'll have to save for Chuck. You'll have to hear about Chuck's great battle with Peter Boyles. We'll talk about that.
You just listened the last half an hour. It was fun. Peter's great about it.
Right.
You know, we get to do a battle of wits and It's vicious, but fun.
And Sandra, thank you for saying what a nice compliment. Really, really great show. Thank you very much for that. If you missed any part of our show, you can
any part,
you can always just go to chuckandjulie.com and get everything there. And if you go there, if you haven't already, please go ahead and sign up for our newsletter. It's free. I send it to you and I only send it once a week.
And don't get out of bed. Snowdon is coming. And you must not move. But we'll see you Monday anyway.
Right. Everybody have a great weekend.